Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rick James 2626. That's Rick Lone Star James 2626. And you are currently in the Lone Star Experience. I am here right now live on YouTube. And you can catch me on YouTube at Rick James 2626. You can also catch me on Twitch at the same name, Rick James 2626. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Tonight we're going to be discussing Stomping Grounds, and we're going to be playing WWE 2K19. So you've got to excuse me if you hear me doing a little bit of both. So first I want to just introduce the dojo. So if the dojo can hear me, say what up.
What up?
That's what I'm talking about.
What the fuck is this?
Say what up.
Nah.
Appreciate it. I'm currently not in a match right now because apparently I am not welcome because it is full. But let's get started with.
I know.
While we're remaking the match to get me in, let's get started with tonight's events. So tonight was WWE Stomping Grounds. How did everybody feel about it?
Yeah, it was all right. It was a decent pay-per-view.
I like the match, you know what I'm saying? Now it is.
Cool beans. Here, listen. I'm going to kick it off like this. So the night started off with the girls. Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans for the WWE Raw Women's title. What? Pre-show. We'll discuss the pre-show in and out of the... The pre-show really... Well, we got a new cruiserweight champion. Yeah, we'll discuss that later on in the night. We're talking about the main cards right now. Like, we don't care about the pre-show. Nothing really exciting happened on the pre-show. Well, we got to see Booker T, and we got to see who replaced Renee Young. What's her name? I can't even remember this girl's name. See, that's how real it is. We got to see Jennifer Hudson's boyfriend or husband. What's his name? David Otunga. Thank you, David Otunga. So we got to see David Otunga. We got to see trash people on the kickoff show. So we're not even going to talk about the kickoff show right now. What we are going to talk about is how the night started off. And the night started off with Lacey Evans versus Becky Lynch for the WWE Women's Championship match. The match started off with Lynch coming out in a fury. I mean, Lynch was out there kicking ass and taking names. And then out of nowhere, Lacey Evans caught herself a cheap shot to the stomach. And it was on and cracking after that, ladies and gentlemen. I swear to you not, she was on a beatdown for that midsection. She beat Becky Lynch down for a good 15 minutes in the midsection. And then after a storm weathered by Becky Lynch, she was able to come back and hit her with a Bexploder in the corner and disarmor. The first of two disarmors that led to tonight's tap out victory for Becky Lynch. My reaction for that match for tonight is really, you know, it's a great match actually. I gave that match 5 stars. I don't care what anybody else says. I gave that match 5 particular stars. It was a great match. The crowd was into it. The energy was there. Even though I don't think Lacey Evans should have tapped out the way she did, it was still a great match. And there was a whole lot of energy going on there. I cannot lie about it. A whole lot of energy going on there.
Right.
After that match, we saw a weird, I don't even know how to call this promo, but it was a promo for Mustafa Ali. I guess he wants to be a savior. He's just out there, you know, talking about how he's going to save the universe from despair and this, and he'll put his body on the line and that. I don't know, Mustafa Ali, it seems like he's just trying too hard for me. What do y'all think?
I mean, he wasn't really doing nothing on the show, so I mean, it was a good way to get him off the show and just kind of remind him, like, he's there and doing stuff, you know. It's a good kind of reminder that he's still there, he's still kind of a big star.
If you say so. That was followed by a brief interview by Paul Heyman, where we thought him or maybe even Brock Lesnar or somebody affiliated with the Heyman camp might have been the special guest referee for tonight's main event. But we'll get to that later on what actually happened in the main event. Paul Heyman actually then stated that, you know, you never know what can happen tonight, and you never know which champion he's actually gunning for. So that was kind of, you know, we were left in a little suspense. We were left thinking that Brock Lesnar might actually show up tonight, or you know, it was kind of cool, you know, Paul Heyman always leaving us in suspense. The second match of the night was actually another great match, in my opinion. It would put the New Day's Xavier Woods and Big E Langston versus KO, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. That match, oh my God, the start of that match was crazy. Kevin Owens comes out the gate with three super kicks, one to Big E Langston, two to Xavier Woods, then he comes out with another super kick, comes off the top rope with a senton bomb. Xavier Woods kicks out. Jesus Christ, yo, Hunter, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. That was nice.
Evan, you saw that?
I actually didn't watch the pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. So then I'm just the ultimate spoiler. I'm so sorry, Evan. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yo, that match was so dope. Yo, Evan, you're missing from the match, by the way.
Yeah, we need you.
Man,
how many
more do my
UG
count now?
KO then follows. KO was just on a super kick barrage thing. The Savat kick used by KO tonight was beautiful, perfect. Looked like Shawn Michaels in his prime. It followed by a blue thunder bomb. Woods still kicks out. I mean, Woods took a lot of punishment tonight in this match. It would have been a surprise if it turned out any other way than it did. After a storm weathered, Big E comes in to deliver a storm of his own, where the match really intensifies. See a lot of heavy hitting moves and fast action, but to no prevail. Although Big E tried, once he tagged back in Woods, it was pretty much over for that. It was pretty much end game for that. Woods comes into the game, gets beat up a little bit more. KO takes advantage of a moment where it's just him and Woods, catches him with the stunner, end game. But for my opinion, that was a 5-star match. Probably even match of the night. That was the most exciting match of the night. We were followed by a brief Alexa Bliss promo with Nikki Cross, where she discussed how she felt about the last week of events, them losing the tag belt opportunity, and just a little bit more mind games that she would play with Nikki Cross. That would then lead us into our third match of the night, which, in my opinion, was kind of a boring match. It would put us Samoa Joe versus Ricochet for the United States title. What looked like a very one-sided match. Oh, my God. What really looked like a one-sided match for a very long time, with Samoa Joe just delivering an onslaught of heavy moves and submission moves and move after move after move after move. It looked like Ricochet just really didn't have an answer until just really an enziguri. Believe it or not, it was an enziguri followed by just an onslaught of high-flying moves that just kind of led Ricochet into a modified Codebreaker in 630 off the top rope to get him his first title here in the WWE, and that would be the United States title. Congratulations to Ricochet for that. Put on a hell of a match. I gave him 4 stars for that match, even though it was a one-sided thing. He showed that he can weather the adversity of fighting, you know, a bigger competitor and still find a way to win. Followed by that, when he came out of the arena into the locker room, he was congratulated by fellow superstars, Heavy Machinery, former Raw Tag Team Champions Zack Ryder and Kirk Hawkins, Carmella, Charlotte Flair, and a surprise appearance on a pay-per-view by the COO, Triple H. That would then lead us into a match with Heavy Machinery versus the new Daniel Bryan and Rowan for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team titles. Let me take a break for a second and say that the fact that I did not see the Raw Tag Team titles on the line tonight is pretty disgusting. It is the main show. It is the flagship show. So all the flagship show titles should be on the line. The fact that we even got highlights of a 24/7 title tonight with Drake Maverick and R-Truth at a makeshift wedding or whatever, that was disgusting for me. Instead of seeing the Raw tag team titles up for grabs, maybe even the Revival versus the Usos, or just something interesting in that nature where you would see the Revival, because the Revival is a damn good tag team, and I would love to see them in a classic with the Usos right now. But all right, back to our fourth match of the night, which was like I said, which was Heavy Machinery versus Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. Yo, Hunter, let me ask you a question. Did you see the reaction of the crowd tonight?
It was pretty. It was all right.
No. Talk about during that particular match. Did you see the reaction of the crowd?
It was decent, I think.
Decent. No, let me show you something. The reaction of the crowd was. The reaction of the crowd was actually more than decent. Let me show you something. The crowd actually rooted for Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan and not Heavy Machinery.
Wonder why.
Granted, Daniel Bryan is the hometown favorite, and one of the members of Heavy Machinery lived not too far out, but they rooted for Daniel Bryan. And not only did they root for Daniel Bryan, but it got into the psyche and the heads of Heavy Machinery, throwing off their ability to feed off the crowd.
That's true. That's true.
But I do give that match, I give that match 4 stars, only because Heavy Machinery did show that although the crowd was not behind them, that they can still try to play off of them even, or even just continue to persevere through the match. Although they lost the match and Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan retained the titles, it was still a very entertaining match, and Heavy Machinery showed that maybe later on down the line, they can still not only contend, but even capture tag team titles here in the WWE. That match was followed by Bayley versus Alexa Bliss for the women's tag team titles. Hit me for the women's tag team titles. I apologize. Oops. Sorry, that's a typo that I can't take back, right? For the women's heavyweight title of SmackDown. Even with Nikki Cross in the corner, I thought it was going to be a little bit more more sneaky kind of match for Alexa Bliss. But Nikki Cross is kind of on a face. She's looking like a baby face right now. And then she just happens to be teamed with a heel. So she's not really on her heel vibes, even though when she was in NXT.
She seems to be like a wild card right now.
Yeah, she's pretty much like a wild card, like Evan said. Like in NXT, she was really like a wildfire. She was really spark. She was dangerous. She was kind of like a heel. But right now, she's really nothing. Anything, guys?
I don't think she's nothing. She's like downgraded.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think she should have been downgraded. Or at least if you're going to team her with Alexa Bliss, tonight would have been the perfect night to reintroduce that side of her that is the heel. Because she does play that role well. That crazy, you know what I'm saying? She could have helped Alexa Bliss win the title with that crazy role, like running to the referee or something, or something, you know, where it would have made, you know, you would have seen the crazy, and then Alexa Bliss would have came on top, and it would have showed like, all right, well, I won, but damn, this bitch crazy, but all right, we got it. Like something other than what we saw tonight. What we saw tonight, we saw Alexa Bliss crying at the end of the match, looking around, confused. It was pretty piss poor played. Especially since Bayley didn't show the intensity that I thought she should show. Like, I get what they're trying to push. Bayley's a little bit more mature. Bayley's, what are they saying? She's a little bit more mature. She's fighting a little bit more dirty. But I don't see that. I still see the same old hugger. You know what I'm saying? Maybe she didn't come out with the same old hugging material and, you know, last year's props. And, you know, maybe she did a little bit more than just, you know, try to appeal to the crowd. Maybe she was more like Stone Cold because she has it in her. Where she was kind of like not really a baby face, not really a heel, but more, you know, one of the two. Then maybe I can see it. But, you know, tonight's match just showed again, like, you know, okay, she can weather a storm, but she's not really that. I don't want to see her as women's champion. She's just like, it doesn't make me It's not going to sell tickets if I see her. Like, she's not like Becky Lynch. She's not like Charlotte Flair. She's not like Alexa Bliss. She's not like Amber Moon. Like, these women have a... you want to see these women. She's not like Sonya Deville. She's not like Mandy Rose. You want to see these women in the ring. You when these women in the ring, it's more than just wrestling. It's sex appeal. It's cameos. It's the ability to draw the crowd and seduce the crowd with not just your wrestling, but your antics and your ability to talk and do certain things. But that I just don't see Bayley having the ability to do. She just still wants to be a 16-year-old girl.
True.
There was another cut and dry promo after that match. I'm not even gonna get into it because it was just another cookie cutter moment. I didn't even respect it, to be real honest enough to even talk about it. So we're just going to get to Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Now, talk about a boring match, right? Like, even...
It wasn't a boring match. The thing is, I didn't get about Roman Reigns. I didn't get about Roman Reigns. And Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre was... What's the whole point of Shane McMahon hiring somebody to watch his back? He's big and bad, so what's the point of hiring somebody?
Well, I mean, it's like I said, this brings it back to my... You see, that's a good point of Shane McMahon. You know, why does Shane McMahon need to hire somebody? Because it just brings it back to what I was saying, you know, earlier in my preview show. Like, you know, WWE is just doing a lot of cookie-cut things, you know? Like, okay, so Vince McMahon had the whole corporation and the ministry. Then we had the authority with Triple H. You know what I mean? We had Triple H in the authority, and now we just looks like we're going to have Shane and whatever Shane calls his, you know, establishment of him, Drew McIntyre, and Elias, and the revival. Like, it's just, like I said, it's cookie cutter, and it makes no sense because Shane McMahon, he would have better off going heel with The Miz than he is with Drew McIntyre, only because it would have drew more tickets, it would have drew more seats. Drew McIntyre is a better heel by himself. Him standing around being Shane McMahon's lackey, not winning no titles, not doing... Like, he's a better competitor than that. Roman Reigns, on the other hand, is just boring. And granted, he's tough and he can weather storm after storm after storm. It's just... It was a boring match. It was like, all right, y'all, like... How much can we beat up Roman Reigns kind of thing? And then Roman Reigns comes and hits you with a Superman punch. How much more can we beat up Roman Reigns before he hits you with another Superman punch? How much more can we beat up Roman Reigns before he hits you with another Superman punch? How much more can we beat up Roman Reigns before he hits you with a final Superman punch and now a spear? Oh shit, can we still beat up Roman Reigns some more? Yes, we can. And now he's still gonna hit you with a spear. Thank you, sir. What's this, tequila coming up? Oh, we got tequila too. Huh? We got tequila too, you know. Yes. No, you just gotta have a strong stomach. I'm from Trinidad, dog. Like, I could smoke weed, drink Hennessy, you know what I'm saying?
So, you know.
Yeah, I feel The Miz should have went heel, and the fact that The Miz didn't show up tonight to help Roman Reigns was kind of like, ugh. But it also pays back to 2 weeks ago on Raw when Roman Reigns didn't come out to help The Miz. On SmackDown, when Roman Reigns didn't come out to help The Miz. It's like, come on, if you're going to do this feud and you're going to have these two men involved, at least have it interesting. It's not even interesting. It's looking really boring. I hope tomorrow night on Raw that The Miz at least shows up to help Roman Reigns or something, because it's just going to look like another boring moment in the life of the authority or the ministry or the corporation. You know, it's just whatever you want to call it. The Eric Bischoff version of the NWO. Like, it's just the same cookie cutter material, and it was really boring and it was sad to see. On to the seventh match of the night, which was also the first of our two main events, which should have been the main event, if you ask me, after what Kofi Kingston did, was Kofi versus Dolph Ziggler for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. Before I get into this, everybody, how do you feel about this match?
That was a good match.
So Kofi Kingston did his part. That's how I say it. He put his heart into it. Dolph
Ziggler,
he don't deserve another title match.
Whoa, whoa, yeah, not now. Not anymore.
What was the match? That ending, the end spot was great.
Dolph Ziggler did everything that he could tonight. He did submission moves. He tried to take out Kofi's legs. Suplexes off the top rope. Bashes into the cage. He tried to climb out the cage. That ended the match scenario where he tried everything in his heart. He kicked Kofi Kingston in the face. He did everything to climb out the cage, but to no prevail. Kofi Kingston just proved that he's Kofi Kingston for a reason. Like, this just reminds me of Royal Rumble moments and SummerSlam moments where you're like, Kofi Kingston is just going to do something phenomenal. And he just lived up to his name tonight. Diving through the middle rope, over Dolph Ziggler, through the door, to land on the floor before Dolph Ziggler to retain his title. It's got to be one of the most epic things I've ever seen tonight. It was beautifully put together. Whoever told Kofi Kingston to do that, I award them. It turned his 3.5-star match into an epic 5-star match, because for the next year to 2 years, we will be talking about the moment when Kofi Kingston jumped over Dolph Ziggler to retain his title. No matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens at the next pay-per-view, which happens to be Extreme Rules in Philadelphia, which I will be attending. None of that matters, because Kofi Kingston proved once again that he, in his 12 years of entertaining the audience, he can still not only entertain the audience, but entertain them at a high volume. That leads us into the closeout moments now. This is the best part, right? The main event. I'm just going to say, I do give the main event 5 stars. I still wish that the Kofi Kingston match was the main event, but I do give the main event 5 stars. It was dramatic. We had a lot of things going on in the main event, fellas. What do we have? We had drama, right?
I'm still stuck on the part where how Becky Lynch comes out of nowhere to start helping him out. I'm starting to wonder if Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins got something going on.
Well, we already know that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins got something going on. If you was actually paying attention to the pay-per-view tonight, they actually showed a picture of them kissing, and they showed some other things. But, they showed a picture of it. So, let's move a little forward now onto the match itself. So, Baron Corbin introduces his special guest referee. Actually, someone that Seth Rollins could unleash a chair shot on, because his special guest referee tonight would just so happen to be none other than the opener, the challenger for the women's title in the opener match tonight, Lacey Evans. Wow, what a twist there, right? What a twist. So, Lacey Evans is the special guest referee, and she does not leave anything in the bag. She pulls it out. Slow counts, restarts matches, changes the match rules, you name it, she does it on a whole different level, on a whole different spectrum. It was phenomenal to see, if you ask me, because it was something that we haven't seen in a long time, and it was a moment where you wanted to see Becky Lynch come out earlier. You did. It was that anticipation. It was that buildup. It was that, well, when is she going to come out if she's his girlfriend? Like, well, what kind of girlfriend just needs a man to go through this? And it's just, you had to know that there was a climaxing moment that was going to draw her out, and it finally happened on the low blow. Lacey Evans delivers a crushing low blow at the end of the match where you think that this is it. Maybe Becky Lynch is in the hotel somewhere. She's not coming out. Baron Corbin's about to deliver end of days. This is going to be the end of the match. Nope, here she comes. No music, mind you. I respect it, because normally you would have this big pop with his music and his whoa. None of that crazy shit tonight. None of the extra pyro, which you would want to see when we normally see for the last decade somebody come down to the ring to help somebody. We got this big dramatic scene where music is played and we got 10 seconds of music before the person can come running down the aisle. No, we didn't get to see that tonight. Thank God. We got to see a moment where she comes running down the aisle like a mad woman, dashes into the ring, attacks the woman that just attacked her boyfriend, drags her to the ground, throws her outside, explodes her onto the barricade. Have referees coming out of everywhere. The controversial referee from 2 weeks ago's pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia comes into the ring to finish refereeing the match. Seth Rollins delivers a crushing super kick followed by a crushing curb stomp to end a grueling and what had to be the fix was in. I didn't even understand. The fix was in. All Lacey Evans had to do was just kind of a little bit faster, and Seth Rollins might not have kicked out or something. But he withstood the storm. I mean, a serious storm of barrages and onslaughts and just nonsense that after nonsense. And even in a cookie cutter moment, it was just like, all right, cool. I can respect it. I can respect it. For him to retain his Universal title.
I can respect it still, but what could have really happened was if they were going out, they should have been coming out at the same time, and that shit would have never happened.
That's how I feel. Why didn't she accompany him to the ring? Like how Miss Elizabeth would accompany the Macho Man. Like how Sherry accompanied all of her clients or anybody that she might have been dealing with. Like how AJ Lee used to accompany CM Punk sometimes. Like, you know, I do wonder these things. I do wonder these things. In the overall for tonight, we have about 4 minutes left in my podcast. All right, cool. I might just wrap it up early. I'm going to give the overall pay-per-view 4 stars. We had drama, we had suspense, we had high-paced action, we had heavy-hitting blows, but we did still have cookie-cutter moments and dry matches that really just left you walking around or doing something else or not paying attention or until one moment where you're like, oh my God. So yeah, I still give it 3.5 to maybe even 4 stars just because of the fact that we still had a lot of cookie cutter moments. Welcome to the stream, bro. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you did enjoy tonight's WWE Stomping Grounds Kick Ass and Take Names. My name is Rick Lone Star James. You have sat into the Lone Star Experience, tonight's special episode following up from a long day of podcasting. I like to say thank you. Remember, proper planning prevents poor performance. Good night, good fight. I'm going to beat people up right now in WWE, y'all. Holla at me. This is Rick James, Rick Lone Star James, 2626, signing out. Catch me on PlayStation, YouTube, Twitch, anything in the world that you think of live streaming. Rick James, 2626. Have a great night, y'all.